Before reflecting on the scriptures for this evening and today's feast, I'd like to introduce to you the people sitting in the first pews on my right-hand side. You might remember that this year, Pope Francis has asked us to celebrate a year for religious life, understanding the significance of consecrated religious life in the church. And we've had various celebrations to commemorate that this year. And this afternoon, before Mass, I had a luncheon or dinner meeting with the young women and men who are here. They are in the novitiate or in temporary vows, or they are aspirants or postulants of religious communities here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. So I'd like them to stand so we might see the vocations and thank God for their gifts. Please stand. Now, they aren't the only ones. There are several communities that couldn't be with us this evening because they've gone off for the summer or whatever, but this is a good representative body of the religious who are so valuable for us, both in terms of the work they do, but more importantly because of the witness they give to the reality of God by their vowed life, and we're grateful for that. So thank you very much, brothers and sisters, for that gift to all of us. A bit later, after my homily, we're going to also be receiving three new extraordinary ministers of the Eucharist, blessing them for that special ministry in our cathedral parish. So that's taking place in our Mass today. As a setup for my homily, I'd like to quote a line from today's Gospel, which is the last part, the last chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew. This is what we heard. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. When they all saw him, they worshiped, but they doubted. I think that's a good description of the group I'm looking at this evening. You know, we are here to worship God and worship Jesus Christ, to honor the Holy Trinity on this feast of the Holy Trinity. But it's also true that if we are serious Christians, there have been moments, and maybe the moment now, when we believe and worship, but we doubt. To doubt is not the same thing as to disbelieve. The word doubt means you're struggling to believe. It's a commitment to believe, but acknowledging the struggle that comes with it. And I suspect that's especially true when we celebrate a feast that honors the reality of God that we Christians articulate as the Holy Trinity. If I ask you to explain this mystery in my place this evening, how many of you would volunteer to do that? Not even the priests that are here. Oh, Father Gill said he would do it. Okay, very good. You might remember, those of you who are older, and there aren't many here who are this old probably, that back in the good old days, whenever the priest would begin the homily, this was before deacons even, he would begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and everybody in the congregation would do the same. That's how we began homilies, and that's how we ended them. And the reason for that is, symbolically, it represents our faith, which begins and ends with the mystery of the Holy Trinity, not just in the sign of the cross that we use to begin our prayer, but in the foundational theology of the church. But despite that, we don't give the Trinity much attention, either in our preaching and our teaching or in our personal spiritual lives as Christians. So the church gives us this feast once a year at the end of the Easter season to formally reflect on the significance of that reality in our life as Christians. So join me in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we begin. I went to Catholic grade school, as many people in Philadelphia have done. And when it came to the Trinity, the sisters who taught me, the Sisters of St. Joseph, would use symbols to help me understand this mystery. The most common symbol is what? The clover, the three-leaf clover. You know, one stem, three leaves, helps us understand what we mean when we say God is Trinity. You know, the faith of the Church is expressed simply but in a difficult way. We believe that God is one. We are monotheists as Christians. We believe in one God. But at the same time, as being one God, God is at the same time three distinct persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Distinct persons. That means the Father is not the Son, and the Son is not the Father, and the Holy Spirit is not the Father or the Son, and the Father and the Son are not the Holy Spirit. But these three distinct persons are at the same time one God. Other images that have been used are interesting. There's the symbol of H2O, water, ice, and steam. It's all H2O, but each one is in some sense distinct. It really doesn't help us very much, but that's another image that's used to help us understand the Trinity. Another image is associated with music. Three keys are played at the same time to form one chord. Another image, I don't really know how this works, but another image that's used is the human face. Two eyes, one face. It just seems like that's two rather than three. But that's often an image to help us understand the Trinity. But it doesn't really work because the Trinity is a mystery. Again, going back to my childhood in Catholic school, whenever the sisters were teaching us about the faith, they would often refer to as the mysteries of the faith. I think I thought in those days that they were just using that as an excuse that they couldn't give the answer to the question. Oh, it's a mystery, you know. But as I got older, especially after I reached puberty and began to notice women, I understood that there were mysteries in life. And those of you who are married know that that continues throughout your marriage, right? Your husband is always going to be a mystery to you, and your wife as well. And that's what we mean when we say that the Trinity is a mystery, because human beings are mysteries. We understand them, but we don't. There's always something more to understand. They surprise us. And if God is not one person, but three persons in one God, it's not surprising that this would be a mystery, something we can understand, but not fully understand. It's also important for us to understand that the mystery of the Holy Trinity is a gift from God, which we call revelation. There are many things we believe as Christians that are not revelation. For example, the commandment, thou shalt not kill, makes common sense to us, right? We didn't need God to reveal that to us. We sense it from our own understanding of human relationships. Revelation means that God tells us something we wouldn't discover through our own research or reflection. And that's what the mystery of the Holy Trinity is. It's a gift from God, a revelation. Now, this is very, very important because it's important for us in our human experience to think about who we reveal ourselves to. When God reveals himself as Trinity, he's not just giving us information. He's revealing the intimate life of God. Who do you reveal your very, very private and particular mystery to? It's to someone you love, right? If you meet someone in the grocery store and they tell you all the intimate details of their life, you think that person's strange. and you run away. Because we don't easily tell everybody everything. And you can remember the thrill you had when you first fell in love and you wanted to know everything you could know about the person you fell in love with. And you were anxious to talk to them about yourself, revealing yourself to the person that you love. So when God reveals himself to us, it's a sign that he loves us. That somehow God's life is not complete. This is kind of dangerous language because we know God is perfect, doesn't need us. But at the same time, there's something incomplete about God's life if we're not part of it in a personal way. He reveals himself to you and to me so that we might respond in love. And that's what the Trinity is all about. It's not a theoretical feast. It's a feast about the intimate life of God and how God wants to share that with his people. Now, our first reading today is from the Old Testament, from the book of Deuteronomy. And this is exactly what Moses is saying to the Jewish people. Moses said to the people, "Ask this, did anything so great ever happen before? Was it ever heard of? Did a people ever hear the voice of God speaking from the midst of fire as you did and live?" He's saying to the Jewish people, you should be amazed that God revealed himself to you. And then he goes on to say, this is why you must now know and fix in your hearts that the Lord is God in the heavens above and on earth below, and that there is no other. God's self-revelation demands on our part a submission to that love and to lead our lives out of that mystery ourselves. He goes on to say, you must keep his statutes and commandments because you love God, not because they're rules, but because God has revealed himself to you in love. It's our faith as Catholics that we share in the life of the Trinity through baptism. That when you were baptized and when I was baptized, we were plunged into God's bloodstream, as it were, and begin to live along with Jesus in the very heart of the Trinity. This is an amazing part of our faith, and it's astonishing we don't pay more attention to it. St. Paul was saying this in our second reading from his letter to the Romans. This is what he said. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. My dear sisters and brothers, we are heirs to the life of God because of our baptism, because of Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection and ascension to the Father. You know, we are co-heirs with Jesus through our baptism. As St. Paul says in another place, God has made us sons, whether we're male or female, in his Son. It's not language about gender, it's about relationships. When God looks on us, he sees the face of Jesus. And that's how real our participation in the life of the Trinity is. We are children of God and joint heirs with Christ. It's rather wonderful, isn't it? Now, what practical use is this for us? You know, the feast of the Holy Trinity is not really about us, it's about God. And it's kind of amazing how people, especially in our time, want to turn all of Scripture into a story about us. Let me give you an example that's Trinitarian. Some years ago, maybe 20 years ago, it became popular in Christian communities that are more liberal to change the formula for baptism. Instead of baptizing people after the direction of Jesus in today's gospel, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they decided that they don't want to be sexist anymore. So they're not going to use Father or Son. They're going to use language that's different. They say, I baptize you in the name of the Creator, the Savior, and the Sanctifier. Now, that's not a valid baptism. But what's interesting about it is that the people who do that have turned the mystery of the Trinity, which is about who God is, into the mystery about how God relates with us. Now, God is our Creator, and the Father is identified with that part of the Trinitarian nature. God is our Redeemer. Jesus redeemed us and saved us on the cross. And the Holy Spirit does sanctify us in the life of the church. But see, that's about us. It's about what God does for us, which is not insignificant, but that's not what we're celebrating on the Feast of the Trinity. We're celebrating who God is in himself or in God's self, whatever you want, language you want to use. That the relationship between the second person and the first person of Trinity somehow is like the relationship between a father and a son. It's not exactly the same because God is not a male or a female. God is God, right? And we know that both male and female are significant to who God is because God says in the book of Genesis, let us make man in our image and likeness. And he's made mankind in two forms, male and female. So there's something about maleness and femaleness that does participate in the mystery of who God is. That's really important, but that's not what we celebrate on the Feast of the Holy Trinity. We celebrate who God is in himself. And Pope Benedict XVI said it in a very short way, much better than I have for the last 15 minutes. This is what Pope Benedict had to say about the Trinity. I think it's the most beautiful description of the mystery of the Trinity that I've ever seen. This is his words. The Trinity is a revelation of the intimacy of God. Discovering that God is not infinite solitude, but communion. A communion of life and love, life given, life received, in an eternal dialogue, in an eternal dialogue between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Lover, beloved, and love. God is not alone. God was not alone before we came into being. God is a community. And you and I are made in God's image and likeness. That means a lot of things. Again, when I was in grade school, I was taught that meant we have intellect and will, which are characteristics of God and not characteristics of the rest of creation, right? And that's true. But I think the heart of the matter, when God said, let us make man in our image and likeness, there was this eternal dialogue in the heart of God about making creatures like us share in that dimension of the communal life of God. So it does have an application in our lives. You know, we are made to live, to love, and to act like our Creator, the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So, happy feast day. Now, I expect you to go home and tell your children all about this. I also expect you to be the disciples of this good news that Jesus calls us to be in today's gospel. I'd like to close with the divine commission that Jesus gave his disciples as he clearly pronounced the reality of the Trinity. Listen to the words of Jesus. All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age. Happy feast.